Psalms chapter 33. Today, we're going to just stop. Every once in a while, you just need to stop, right? You just need to stop and praise the Lord. That's what we're going to do today. We're just going to stop and praise the Lord. I think in times like this, you know, it's easy to get down. It's easy to become discouraged. Because all you hear is bad news. And so I think we have to be very intentional in the times where we just stop and tune the world out and just think about how good our God is. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Psalms 33, verse 1. Verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. For praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with a harp, make melody to Him in an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him, for He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we are truly blessed. Therefore, with that thought in mind, today we just want to take a few moments, count our blessings, and to be thankful. And to rejoice in Your goodness toward us. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's just praise the Lord. The reason we want to just praise the Lord is, as verse 1 puts it, for praise from the upright is beautiful. I like that, don't you? I like that. That word beautiful is not what you think it is. Beautiful, we think of something that you see or something that you listen to. We say, boy, that was a beautiful song. That's not what it means. The Hebrew word that's translated beautiful there means appropriate. So we could say, for praise from the upright is appropriate. Do you understand when I say praise the Lord? I want you to understand what praise is. Praise is the natural response of God's people for the goodness of God. It's when we realize, boy, God really is good. And in that realization, we respond. And today, I mean, right now, at this particular point in world history, it seems like we have to look far and wide for good news. You know, as a matter of fact, I gave up. I don't watch news much anymore because there just seems to never be anything good. You know, it's COVID numbers, it's Afghanistan, it's political value or political battles. And quite honestly, it just seems like to me, it's the goal of the media to divide and destroy this country. Because it's all you hear. And so if we're not careful, we lose that attitude and that mindset of, hey, God is just good. I need to praise Him. And so today I want to invite you, forget all the junk. There's plenty of junk, okay? Today I want to just talk to you about the good news that actually is relevant right now. The good news is that our joy, if you're a child of God, my joy is not based upon this current life, but in the life that lies ahead for me. That's where my joy is. See, you, for I know in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, we're told, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." I know where I'm going. And it does not matter how good today is or how bad today is. I'm going, when I close my eyes in death, I'm going to heaven. That's the good news. We know how this thing's going to end. That's why I'm so big on smiling this morning, you know? There is good news. And what's even better, what I have in Jesus Christ, no one, even the devil himself, can take it from me. Isn't that great? Oh, we can live in fear in this world, and this, you know, and I'm afraid I'll lose this. I'm afraid I'll lose that. I'm afraid I'll get... Oh, no. Listen, what I have in Jesus Christ, nobody can take away from me. John 10:28. Jesus said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." I love that word, never. You know what that word never means? Never, 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 ever, ever, never. That's the Greek interpretation, right? Nobody can have what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or nobody can take what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. More good news. No matter what happens today, no matter what happens today, I know that all things, listen to this, are working according to God's plan. Oh, you know, the world is in an uproar right now. It's as though we caught off guard. Oh my goodness, at the terrible thing going on. God knows. God knew before it happened. God knows where we are and He knows where we're going. And it's all working according to His plan. Romans 8:28 comes to mind. We know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. You know, not only we can keep hearing the bad news, but the good news is God is working it all out for our good and for His glory. Isn't that good news? See, we don't have to fall into the trap of the world anymore. You know what the best news is? Jesus is coming for His children. Jesus is coming back. I think, you know, right now I believe that the prophets of old would have loved to live where you and I are living right now. See the events of the world that are taking place. Yes, I think that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent and it is close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, one of my favorite verses, right? "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with Him in the air to meet the Lord in the air." And this part, "And so shall we always be with the Lord." It's going to get better. You understand that? It's going to get better. You've always heard people say, "I just don't think it can get any worse." Well, listen, I know it's going to get better. And praise God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. So that we don't have to walk around in this life with our heads down and thinking, "Woe is me." Glory to God. There is still good news in the world today. But that good news is focused around Jesus Christ. Second thing, praise is beautiful. Second thing, praise requires effort. I love things that require effort. How about you? See, it requires effort if you were to smile right now. A few of you. Psalms 33:3 says, "Sing to Him a new song." I love that line, don't you? When you understand what it means. That, you know what that word "new" means? It means to recently come into being. Sing Him a song that recently came into being. I love it when Brother Dale introduces new songs. Preacher, you're lying. Actually, I think if Amazing Grace was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us today, right? You know Amazing Grace wasn't written during Jesus' day, right? You know why we don't like new songs? Because it requires effort. You see, we want to come to church and sing those songs that we've got so embedded in our mind that we don't have to open a book or look at a screen because we've sung those songs so many times we don't even have to think about it anymore. I think that's why I put this in here. Sing a new song. Do something that requires some effort. You know what happens? And I'm not, when I say a new song, I'm not talking about style of music. I'm talking about something different. You know, I think we enjoy our ruts. You know what a rut is, right? It's when a church does the same thing over and over and over and they don't know how to do anything else. Easy to get there. I was raised on the farm. Y'all know that. Them old farm roads that we had the back roads, you know, and we had ruts in those farm roads. We'd drive around the back of the field. But I tell you, once you get in the ruts, take your hand off the wheel. Required no steering at all because the ruts would take you where you were going. We'd been on that road so much. Sometimes that's the way our praise is, our worship. You know, we want to take our hand off the wheel and come in and say, well, Lord, I don't really want to try. Let's just get in the rut and go. I think God deserves better than that. What do you think? He deserves more than a rut. He deserves effort. See, that's why it's so hard for us to change, revamp our services, do a different order, and yeah, it's hard because we like those ruts. But the reality is, God likes effort. He likes us to put our heart into it, think about what we're doing, and He's worthy of that effort. So, as you know, and I'll be honest with you, there's probably some opportunity for change coming very, very soon. No amens. No amens. And I don't mean a negative change. I mean a positive change. I'm looking forward to the future victory. I think God is working great things, but I think He also has great things in store for this church. Third, if we're going to praise, it requires skill. I'm going to say that again. If we're going to praise the Lord, it requires skill. Now, verse 2 says, praise the Lord with a harp. Make music to Him on the instrument of 10 strings. Or on the 10-string lyre. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully. And shout for joy. Now, I'm going to tell you what play skillfully. That play skillfully is one Hebrew word, right? And it does not mean to be professional. It means to make full of high-spirited merriment. I want to say that again. That word, play skillfully, means to make full of high-spirited merriment. And to go along with that, that word shout is a joyful, loud utterance. You see, we get to think it's skillful here. We think you've got to be good at it. Well, never do we want to offer God anything less than our best, right? He deserves our very, very best. But here's the reality. There are some people that are just good at it. And there are some people who are not so good at it. I mean, you know, I look at the orchestra, and man, they do a good job. This is where you say, amen. I look at my dear wife, and boy, she plays so well. This is where you say, amen. Keep me out of hot ground. I look at Brother Dale. Fantastic job. They're all good at it. And then you got people like me. Not so good. But you know what? It's all right to be not so good. God does not excuse you because you're not so good. good. You know what God wants from you? He wants a praise that is spirited and rejoicing and happy to honor Him. Because see, I'm going to tell you what happens. This is great. You take those people who are good at it. I mean, they can sing and they can play. And you take those people who are really good at that sort of thing and you mix them in with people like me who are not so good, we get a worship service that is outstanding and that is moving. I want to tell you something. There's nothing like God's people literally pouring out their praise to Almighty God. You don't get that anywhere. And yes, there may be people that cannot sing, but boy, when they're smiling and they're lifting their voices and those voices join in with the people who can sing, I personally think God does something. And He blends it all together. And you talk about beautiful. Oh, folks, the skill required in praise and worship is the heart. It's not the professional, never play a sour, sing a sour note kind of thing. It is the joy that comes from an overflowing heart. Always remember, and get this, get this, okay? God is not looking for professionals. He's looking for joyful participation. Okay? Take that one home. Took me a while to think of that phrase, so I can give it to you this morning, right? Take that home. And then finally, praise requires confidence. I want to go back and I want to read a couple verses with you, right? The confidence that I'm talking about. Verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. Do you know what that word right means? It means right. Correct. You see, two things you must know about God. Number one, God is always right. God is always right. It's what makes Him God. You never have to question whether or not God knows what He's doing. God has never made a mistake. He's never misspoke. He's always right. Therefore, as we consider our praise and we look and look into the Word of God, we're reminded, if God said it, that's good enough. Amen? I don't have to worry about how hard it is. I don't have to worry about how easy it is. If God said it, that's enough. You see, I've got to have that faith, that trust, before I can realize how great God is. Not only is God always right, but He's always been faithful. Verse 4 again, the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That word truth, it's literally, it's that faithfulness. It's that always. You know you're never alone, right? As a child of God, it does not matter who you're with or who you're not with. If you belong to God, God is always there. He's always living within you. I have full confidence, okay? And knowing that God is faithful, I have full confidence that there is nothing in this world that my God cannot do. And so once again, no matter what I have to face today, no matter what tomorrow is going to bring, I know that my God knows how to deal with it correctly and will see me through it without question. You see, it's that confidence that we need in the world today. Instead of the gloom and doom that's being reported to us, we can back up and just say, hey, God's got this. I don't know what COVID's going to do tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen in Afghanistan. I don't even know what the government's going to decide to do. But I do know this, God is still on His throne, and there will nothing take place without God allows it. He's still in control. And He's always faithful. Then finally, you just got to understand that everywhere you look, you see God. You see the goodness of God. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Before you praise the Lord, you've got to see the evidence of God. I mean, you've got to really see, hey, God really did do something. He really is awesome. Consider the creation. Look around, and I know I've preached this before, but you look around, you see the trees and the flowers and the grass. And this morning, you see the good rain. You want to know what's awesome about that? God spoke it into existence. God said, let there be, and there was. Isn't that cool? Have you ever made something yourself? See, you had to take a bunch of stuff and put it together and make it. God said, let there be light, and boom, there was light. Didn't even need the sun. He didn't create the sun till later. That's just awesome to me. If I say, let there be light, I better be flipping a light switch, right? My God said, let there be. And there was. I stand in awe of the great power of our great God. Not only did God speak it into existence, it has stood because of the command of God. You know why there's still an earth? Because God has sustained it. Right? He gave the command in the text there. He gave the command and it stood. We're still here because God is on His throne. I know there's a lot of fear out there today. Oh, climate change. Oh, no. I want to tell you about climate change. You will not climate change God. This world still stands because of God. Not because man's going to take care of this planet. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we need to destroy the planet. I'm not. In case you're wondering, no, I don't believe in climate change. Started out as global warming. Then it got too cool for that and it became climate change. You know, make up your mind. Stand in a position. What? Always have the belief, right? You can tell whether a prophet is right or not if what he says comes true. He don't have to change his position. These screaming climate changers done changed their position too many times, right? This world is still here because God has sustained her. You're still here because God has carried you through. As I read this, you know, and I got to thinking about this, and I thought, you know, I've been through some what I considered rough times in my life. Not complaining, but the one constant factor in every rough and difficult thing that I've ever been through was God carried me through it. I'm still here by the grace and the mercy of God, and you are too. For that reason, I want to praise Him. Listen, we live in a most exciting time of history. It's very exciting. It all depends on how you look at it, though. All depends on your point of view. If you think everything's falling apart, it's not very exciting. But when you think everything's falling into place, things are lining up, Jesus is coming back soon, it gets pretty exciting. You know, Jesus may come back next week. May. He may come back. I pray He does. I didn't say He was. I said He might. We're that close. Leave you with this thought. Verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He's chosen as His own inheritance. I want to share with you this last thought. There is no question that this country was built on the foundation of Christian principles and the Word of God. There's no question. Okay? You can deny all you want to deny it. The history's there. The truth is that this nation was built. Today we look around and we say, oh, our nation has so many problems, and it does. We say sin is running wild, and it is. But as I look at this verse, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, I'm reminded of this fact. When we say, blessed is the nation, you know where a nation begins? It begins with individuals. I'm going to say that again. A nation begins with individuals. So we can say here, blessed is the individual whose God is the Lord. You want to change this nation? We start by changing ourselves. Being a people of praise. To give glory and honor to our great God. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you been saved? I want to tell you, when I started this message, I talked about there's laid up for us an eternal home in heaven that'll never fade away. That's the good news. But it's only good news if you're saved. You can believe in heaven. And if you believe in heaven, you've also got to believe that there is a hell. You're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. And you're going to decide which of those two places that you're going to spend eternity. I can't decide for you. You have to make that choice for you. See, Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt. He died because you're a sinner. And He loved you so much, He said, I'll pay for your sin. I'll take the punishment. And then He offered His salvation to you, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you be saved? You repent, you return from your sin, and you turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. That's the first step. Maybe you're here today and you do know you're saved, but you're distant. You know there's something about praise. I can be in the most ugly mood. And yes, even preachers get ugly moods. But I get in my car, close the door, and I start singing. And I start praising. I can start praying about how glorious God is. And something happens. You can't praise God and be gloomy. Okay? That's what's missing in the lives of a lot of people today. We're forgetting to praise. Maybe you need to turn over a new attitude here this morning. Refocus and realign and just praise the Lord. Whatever your spiritual need, if you need to be saved, if you need to come for baptism, church membership, whatever that spiritual need is, I invite you to come as we have this invitation. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to praise You. I want to thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word and for the reminder of Your Word today that You're still on the throne. You're not surprised by anything. You're still God. And we have a bright future as Your children to look forward to. Sometimes we allow this old world to overwhelm us and to just spiritually depress us. But to this morning, we're reminded that You are a great God. And so, Lord, We're just here to praise You. Father, accept our praise. In Jesus' name I pray.